valuable. Why are we special? God made horses too. He made mosquitoes too. You know, the atheist professor, Peter Singer, he's one of the leading philosophers in the world. He used to be good friends with Bob Brown as well. He's an Australian. But his argument goes that, well, healthy horses, they've got a greater conscious awareness than newborn babies. So therefore, horses are more valuable than newborn babies. You've got a gut reaction against that? A lot of us do. But why? On what basis do we declare that people are especially valuable? Can we have the photo up there of... these are good friends of Miriam's from... she went to school in Singapore, Sean and Lucille. They're one of the families who, even decades after we left, we always catch up with them when we go back to Singapore, and that's Sean and Lucille and all their kids. I've forgotten the baby's name. But here you got in the corner, here you can see the close-up of Rachel. And you can see Rachel, this is her, what she looks like after the operations on her face, not before. And she's also got quite a severe learning disability. Is Rachel special? Is Rachel valuable? I don't mean specialist in special class. I mean, is she really valuable? Is she important? She's not going to do that much dramatic, impressive stuff in her life. So, you know, what makes humans valuable? Why are you special? If you became horribly disfigured, if you could no longer surf or enjoy the outdoors or whatever you're into, if you lost your job, if you lost your house, if you lost your family, if your reputation was slandered, if you were thought of as martyred on Facebook, on the internet, if you're more into that, or round town, if you've been in town for a while, if everybody was, your reputation was completely shot, if you lost your memory, if all that happened, would you still matter? Would you still be special, be valuable? Thanks, Terry, if we can put that off now. You know, is Rachel valuable? Are you valuable in any situation? Now, the Bible answers these questions with an unqualified yes. You matter. You are valuable, no matter what. And to see why, we need to go back to the first passage that was read. Katie read it, didn't she? From Genesis chapter 1. And just set the context there of what's happening here. See, God has made the world. He's made the universe. He has cast the galaxies into space. Think of the power behind that. He's crafted the intricate flowers, the creativity, the beauty that God has set the animals roaming our planet. Think about that God who's done that, who's created this good world. And then we read in verse 26, God said, "Let us make mankind in our own image." Wow. "In our likeness. And let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So, God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. In the lead up to every Olympic Games, there's a select group of people who are chosen. And to carry the symbol of the Olympic Games, the torch. And it's a privilege that every torchbearer remembers for the rest of their lives. They got to carry the symbol of the Olympics for those few moments. But we carry something far greater. You and I, we carry the image of God. Out of all the expanses of the universe, the God whose perfection blazes like the sun chooses people, he chooses you, he chooses me to carry his image, to be like him in a way that nothing else in all of creation is. Male and female, young and old, we could all say, "I am made in the image of God." Actually, I reckon we should all say that out loud now. We're going to do that, okay? So we're all going to say it ready together. I am made in the image of God. It's kind of special, isn't it? Wow. Some of you might be thinking, wow, that is special, wow. And others might be thinking, wow, that is weird. You know, I mean, what does it mean to be in the image of God? I mean, can't mean that God's got a nose like mine. Or God's got, you know, two arms and two legs. God is spirit. The whole universe can't contain him. So how can little old me be in the image of God? I mean, can we define the image of God? You know, an interesting thing about the Bible, about God's word, is that it never seeks to exactly define how people are in God's image. I mean, that's not to say that there aren't things we can draw out of, and theologians have drawn out many things, good things about humans that are seem to be related to being in the image of God, and the technical term for that is the Latin, imago Dei. What does it mean to be imago Dei, to be in the image of God? I'm going to quickly run through five different things that people have drawn out from it. Firstly, people are relational. You see, God is relational right at the very beginning. You know, God said there, let us. You know, who's us? It's not. He doesn't say let me. He says, let us make mankind in our own image. Our, not my. There's a plural there. See, you've got the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, three in one. The Trinity in loving relationship, its core is essential to who God is. So we're designed for deep relationships, for deep relationships with each other, for deep relationships with God, because we are in the image of the relational God. Secondly, there's sort of position of responsibility, of rule, of leadership over the created world. You might think we mess it up all the time, but we are given that responsibility and we exercise it. God made us to rule over and care for his creation, because we're in the image of the great ruler of everything. And then humans have this, thirdly, humans have an amazing capacity for higher order thinking. Our capacity for self-awareness, even atheist philosophers seem to be doing some higher order thinking there. And, you know, we can organise our time, our space, our matter in productive ways to get things done, to bring order there. We're made in the image of the supremely intelligent God. And then there's also, fourthly, our creativity. Listen to music, whatever style you're into. Look at art. Think about, have you thought about the car you drive, the creativity that went behind getting all that together? Or your little iPhone or whatever thing you've got? Human creativity, it's astonishing. Because we are made in the image of our astonishingly creative God. And finally, I want to say, humans grapple with moral and ethical questions. I don't have a dog at the moment, but I do remember from when we did have a dog, that dogs, when they get a bone, they don't think, I'd like to have this bone. It smells good, but, well, I don't know, the sheep that it came from was mistreated. I don't think I should touch it. And dogs in Africa, they don't get to have bones like this, so maybe I shouldn't be having one. No, they don't do that. Humans ask ethical questions because we're made in the image of the holy and righteous God. And so we've got human relationship, human responsibility, human thinking, human creativity, human ethics. They all remind us how unique and valuable people are. And most people recognise these amazing attributes of humans. Even governments, even atheists do. So if we want to influence public policy, they're really helpful to argue the case that all people are valuable. But as I mentioned, biblically, the image isn't limited or defined or restricted to any particular thing about humanity. It's part of the whole of what people are. You know, John Piper says, the Bible is simply not as concerned as we are to determine the precise nature of our God-likeness. It simply presents it as a fact. All humans are in the image of God. And because it's a fact, all humans are valuable, are loved by God. You know, so your relationships may be smashed. You may be an immoral, irresponsible, unthinking so-and-so. You may lose your ability to reason, to be creative or to talk. But you still bear the image of God. Because God, who made the universe, has put it there. So a few pages over in Genesis chapter 9. Remember, this is after the fall, when things aren't going so perfect. In chapter 9, verse 6, God says, "Whoever sheds human blood, by humans shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God has God made mankind." God doesn't say in the image of smart humans, in the image God's made the smart humans, or God made social humans, God made creative humans in his image. No, all humans, all of humanity, every single one of us is in the image of God. It's imago Dei. And there's something within us, don't you reckon? Something deep in our gut that says, yes, this is true. Once you get to know people as people, there are whole movements that come up saying if people only knew each other as people, built relationships as people. I went on a student exchange for a year with a group that's from First World War. People stayed in cultural exchange, the ambulance drivers did, and they thought if other people had this cultural exchange, realised that people from different cultures were different, they'd have this gut feeling that they're similar and we wouldn't have any more wars. Didn't quite work, but I made a nice exchange organisation. But there's something when we actually get to know people as people, that yeah, yes, all people, if they're like me, they're like them, they're all valuable. They all matter. And in our society, there's still respect for that idea. You see? But I reckon this is changing. I reckon our society's, our culture is moving. It's moving towards valuing people for what they do, for what they can produce, for the way they look. It wouldn't be horrendous. You know, so many people invested in how we look, either physically or our image on all different ways. People are being valued more and more for their contribution and their image rather than simply for who they are. Our culture increasingly places value on people for their performance and not for their essence. So if we take on board the truth that all people are made in the image of God, and if our lives show that we value people regardless of their opinion, of their opinions or their usefulness or their appearance, we'll stand out as different. I'm not saying we'll stand out as dramatically different as the early Christians did. Remember, the early Christians who were first getting their head around this idea, they lived in a society which found it fun to all get together in a big amphitheatre and watch humans being torn to pieces by wild animals. And a society which just left unwanted babies out on the rubbish heaps publicly to die there. Their love for all people was one of the things God used in transforming the culture and in bringing many people to Jesus. But we won't stand out as much as they do. But we will stand out. We'll maybe mocked. Remember, Jesus was mocked. He was mocked as a friend of sinners, a friend of the outcasts, as he touched the untouchables, as he welcomed the rejects. And I've been having this running around my head for a few weeks now. So I've been seeing the implications of all people being in the image of God, all people being imago Dei. For it's just everywhere I look. You can't walk around town. It just hits you everywhere. And so I'm going to run through another quick five things about where this must shape the way that I see people. And if this shapes the way I see people, it must change the way I act, the way I love my neighbour as myself. So people made in the image of God include, one, people with nothing to offer. Disabled children. Rachel, whom I showed you earlier. Many people would have expected Sean and Lucille to have Rachel killed before she was born. They chose not to. Why not? Because they're Christians. And people would have told him, no, it'll mess up, it'll complicate your life, it'll mess things up so much, you'll have you be limited in what... Yes, it has complicated her life. Yes, their lives. It has. Mothering's enough of a challenge at the time, it's so much more of a challenge for Lou. Rachel, there are things she can't do, many things. But they believe they know Rachel is beautiful and is treasured because she is in the image of God. Among others, with nothing to offer, are aged people who can't do much at all anymore. I mean, what can they offer? Not much. People say, oh, I could never want to end up there. But they still carry the image of God. And a third class of not much to offer is unborn children. You know, if you have a child, I've mentioned to people actually looking forward to having children. Kids are great and they mess up your life. If you're not convinced of the first one, the second one's still true. And all the mothers here can say, yes, it might have messed up my life. Hopefully you're giving thanks as well. But there are thousands of unborn babies are killed every year in Australia. And it's a tough decision to keep a baby. It's not easy. It may cost a career. It may mess up your lifestyle. But Christians believe it is worth it because every single child is made in the image of God. People made in the image of God include those with nothing to offer, but also people who are distant from me. The woman in Bangladesh, stitching the clothes I buy, she is made in the image of God. Haitian children, falling sick because they don't have clean water, they're made in the image of God. The Chinese man soldering your iPhone, he is made in the image of God. But us Aussies, we usually shop without thinking twice about who made our clothes, who made our electronics. And our government is cutting the tiny amount of 0.0% of money that we give as foreign aid. And they're saying we can't actually use it to help people, it's got to be only to help ourselves. And both sides of politics are saying, yes, we'll do that. It's a political winner. I don't know, does it bother you that we're doing this, that our society's going this way? I believe it should bother us. And I'm pleased to say, actually, I recommend this Be Change magazine to you because it's actually got great ideas where you can, instead of just feeling guilty, you could do something about it. Got some great different shopping guides in there and suggestions for expressing views to our politicians. People made in the image of God, going back, include those with nothing to offer, those distant. And thirdly, it includes people who are different from me. Islamic refugee kids in detention centres. Black African girls kidnapped in Nigeria. They are made in the image of God as much as my children are. Inner city transsexuals, Eurovision drag queens, redneck pig-shooting bigots. They are all made in God's image. I love what the Christian hip-hop artist Lecrae says. God provided this to me at a time I really needed to have a quote on this. He says, my friends are poor, rich, straight, gay, lesbian, homophobic, liberal, conservative, racist, he's a black man, Muslim, Christian, agnostic, atheist, addicted and clean. I'm just trying to love them like Jesus loves me. People in the image of God with Imago Dei include those with nothing to offer, those distant from me, those different from me, and includes people who are in trouble. It was great meeting people the other month from the Esther Foundation, a great organisation in the city, who reach out to desperate young women and girls through a residential program. And these are girls with issues, serious issues, we've all got issues, substance abuse, sexual and emotional abuse, domestic violence, mental health, teenage pregnancy, self-harming, eating disorders, family breakdown, depression, often many of these things on top of each other, often suicidal. And a key thing the Esther Foundation wants to get through to every girl they deal with, is that you matter. You are valuable. Your value doesn't depend on the way you look. Your value was not destroyed by the man who abused you. Your value isn't lost through those fractured relationships. It wasn't messed up by, destroyed by what you've done in the past, by what you're still struggling with today. You are still valuable on the day you feel rotten and at absolute bottom. You are valuable. You are special. You matter no matter what. And why are the Esther Foundation so confident of this? Because they're a movement which grew out of a church. Christians knowing that the most broken, suicidal girl is still made in the precious image of God. And a final implication for the moment. People made in the image of God includes you. For all these different people, Jesus calls us to love them, to love our neighbour as you love yourself. But you might be feeling, well, my life's in a total mess at the moment. You might have people telling you, you are worthless. You might be telling yourself, I'll never amount to anything. Don't believe the lie. You still bear the image of the Creator, the perfect Creator of the universe. You are precious. You have a value beyond measuring. Doesn't that sound wonderful? It is wonderful. You know, but part of me has trouble accepting this, even as we went through those implications of those people being made in God's image. Weren't you struck by how often you live in denial of that? And I was. I was struck again even as I was going through it. How often do I put my selfish desires ahead of caring for others who are also in God's image? It's scary to think about it. My view of the image of God, it's not just obscured by their problems, it's obscured by my own sinfulness. That's why I so often fail to love people. The image of God in my life, it's obscured. I reckon I like this coin. It's got the ruler's head on it, Queen Elizabeth, stamped on it, but there's a lot of gunk on it. And sometimes it's pretty hard to make out the real image. That's what I'm like. And remember, also, it's not just shown in the way I treat others. But remember when Jesus used this coin illustration, he said, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. So the government's taxes on there, so pay your tax to the government. Give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and give to God what is God's. So that's where Caesar's image is. Where's God's image? What should be given to God? It's us. All humans owe their allegiance to God because He has placed His image on us. We ought to be giving Him our whole selves. But ever since the first man and woman, we've been refusing to do that. People have been saying no. We want to deny that we owe anything to our Creator and try to run life as if we were in charge, as if I was in charge, as if we're not made in the image of God at all. The image of God, it's obscured in all people. It's still there under the filth. But something drastic needs to be done to restore it. And the great news is that God has taken drastic action to restore His people. God sent His Son Jesus to earth as a human. As it says in Colossians 1:15, Jesus is the image of the invisible God. He bore the image of God perfectly. And so, Jesus' view of reality is not like ours. It was undistorted. He always lived as God's image bearer. The only one to. He always treasured others as being in God's image. You see that in the way He treats so many people. But He also saw clearly the way that we often don't allow ourselves to, the sin and the filth that they could not overcome themselves. So Jesus didn't rest in His own perfection. He went to the cross where He took on Himself all the sin, all the pain, all the ways we distort, all the ways we desecrate God's image. And Jesus gave His life to cleanse us, to wash us clean. So now, if you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Saviour, if you said, yes, I want Jesus to change me so I live in His image, then You are restored. You are included in part of God's great restoration project. Far bigger than any of those restorations on TV. God now looks at you. And instead of seeing all the filth and sin, God sees now Jesus' perfect cleansing work in you. God looks at you and he sees his image clearly. And God's not content just to know the beautiful image of himself is there and that you'd like it to be there. God sends his Son, his Spirit, to live in us, to transform the way we live. So we show out that image. As it says in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18, we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory. Wow. We're being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is Spirit. See, God's great plan for us is that we grow more and more like the perfect human, his Son, Jesus Christ, as it says in Romans 8. His purpose is to conform us to what? To the likeness of his Son, that Jesus may be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. God's original purpose of having humans show his glory, have them bear his image, that plan hasn't been ruined by sin, human sin obscuring the image. God's purpose to have people live in his image is being fulfilled through Jesus Christ. It's being fulfilled through his people. That's exciting. Sometimes in this life, you get this little fleeting moment when you feel like you're fully alive. Do you know what I mean? When you feel like you're fully human, like you're being what you were designed to be. It's a rush. It may be in an intimate moment in a relationship. It may be surfing when you've got that authority over the wave. It may be when you've created something and you step back and you go, yes, I nailed it. It may be when you get that glow from really making a difference to other people. Well, through Christ, God is offering you the chance to know the full glory of being human. Not for a moment, not for just a fleeting moment, but forever. You see, when Christ returns, then we will know the experience of the complete glory, the magnificence of sharing in God's image. As it says in Philippians chapter 3, Jesus will transform our lowly bodies so they'll be like his glorious body. As it says in 1 Corinthians 15, then we will fully bear the image of the man from heaven. And Christ, we will fulfill the destiny we were designed for. We will fully bear the image of the man from heaven.